At least 58 people now dead, more than 500 people wounded.
17 fires burning right now in the state, 5,700 structures destroyed, at least 35 people dead.
I mean, this was a massive church just outside of San Juan with a congregation of 3,000 people. Maria just shredded this building.
ISIS released a new video today showing the execution of 21 Coptic Christians kidnapped in Libya.
Two suicide bombings killed more than 40 people on one of the holiest days on the Christian calendar.
North Korea fires yet another missile, but Pyongyang claims this one will be able to hit the U.S. mainland, striking cities like Los Angeles, Denver, even New York and Boston.
They will be met with fire and fury like the world has never seen.
The world seems so unstable, so insecure. Everything is changing way too fast. But there are some things that are steadfast, things that never change: God and His Word. Randy Reams is pastor of Kindred Bible Church in Nampa, Idaho. Join Pastor Randy now as he shares truths from God's unchanging Word.
You have to ask this question, and I've done it in class and get everybody confused. God speaks the animals, speaks the critters, speaks the birds, speaks the fish in the sea into existence, but He doesn't do that with humanity. He purposely does it differently. And so He makes Adam out of the dust of the earth. But here's the other part. He purposely makes Eve different than Adam. He doesn't make Adam and Eve out of dirt. He brings Eve out of Adam. She is the same ontologically. They are the same being. Literally came right out of His side. He looks at her and says, "Bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. Hey, y'all are me. And for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife." What reason is that? When I look at my wife, I see me. What? The part God took out of me that I long so much for? Because love always seeks presence. Okay, and then so, but He looks at Adam before that, and He says, "It's not good that Adam be alone." Why? God said, "Let us make man in our," us in our, plural. But Adam is alone. Is he plural? So it's not good that he alone. He needs to be plural. But he needs to be of the same being to be like God. So He takes her out of him, the same being. So this is why it says that it's not good for he alone. So God brought all the animals to Adam to be named. And among them, not a suitable helpmate was found. Why? They weren't of the same being. They don't make the proper picture, the image of God to us. But one of the things that you'll find is you have to take the context of the culture, the words as they meant to them. You don't get to take our meaning of the word ram and apply it to what Abraham sacrificed. He didn't take any random access memory and sacrifice it on an altar. You see what I'm saying, though? But if you act, most especially city kids, and you asked a young person, "What's RAM?" "Well, that's in your computer." That would be foolish, wouldn't it? And you can't do it. So when we take this idea of him, it isn't just his skirt. It's the idea of her submitting herself to his authority. But she is still equal. All right? Don't confuse those two. All right? I'm going to move on. Okay. So she does this. She's calling upon the law of Levirate marriage is what she's calling upon. And so Boaz goes, "Yeah, oh man, I'd really like to do that." And what he says to her, he says, "Because you know what? The honorable, excellent you, the woman you are, shows. Because I know, buddy, your girl, you could have found a young, good-looking, handsome husband." That's what he says. He says, you didn't take a young man of rich or poor. You're here to the old man because you love your mother-in-law. You're an excellent woman, and I ain't passing up an excellent woman." Okay, because a good woman, who can find? The Bible says that. I found mine, or God found her for me. All right, so he says, but here's the problem, though. There's a relative that's closer than me. And he told her just, he makes a covenant by using the Lord's name, not in a bad sense, okay, but using the Lord's name to promise her he'll take care of this. So she goes home that morning, and she takes her apron, and he fills it full of 6 portions of grain. What does that tell me? Is he just concerned about Ruth? No, he's also concerned about Naomi. And so he goes back. She goes back with all this. And Naomi sees this. And here's what she says. She says, don't worry about it, girl. He won't rest until this is taken care of. Remember, she sent him away, sent Ruth away saying, he'll tell you what to do. And then she says, don't worry, this guy will not rest till he solves this. So he goes to the city gate. They have 10 elders there. And the nearer kinsman goes passing by. Hey, ho, over here. Come here. Hey, you know Naomi, you know that land over there that's fruitful and prosperous. Would you like to redeem that? You bet I would. I'll take that. Oh, good. You got to take the Moabite. He emphasizes she's a Moabitess, and her husband's dead. He says it twice. Now, I'm going to ask you, why do you think this guy couldn't or wouldn't redeem Naomi, knowing she was fine with it, till he found out about Ruth? What do you think that is? Yeah. She's a Moabite, and a Moabite can't enter the synagogue for 10 generations, and neither can an illegitimate child, and you'll see. Okay? Let me give you a few points here. Before all this can happen, Naomi has to basically, by famine, be exiled from the land. She is returning to the land. All right? Ruth is minding her own business when she's gleaning. She is not chasing or pursuing Boaz. She doesn't even know whose field it is. She just happened. Remember that? Come on. So Boaz sees her first, pursues her, provides for her in an extra sense of way. Naomi is the one that tells Ruth how to approach Boaz. Ruth never replaces Naomi. Ruth learns Boaz's ways from Naomi. Naomi comes under the care of Boaz via Ruth. And it is Ruth, not Naomi, who comes to the near kinsman. Watch. We all know who Boaz represents, right? The kinsman redeemer. Who does Ruth represent? Us, the Gentile bride. Who's Naomi represent? The Hebrews. Who does the nearer kinsman represent? The Mosaic law, because it cannot redeem you. So watch. Israel has to leave the land and be bought back, spiritually and naturally. I'll say this, we are minding our own business when God finds us. We aren't looking for him. It says no one seeks God in Romans or Corinthians. He provides life to her. The prod is to keep her living, all right? That's what brings her to be bride. This has something to do with the order salutis, hermeneutic students, if you want to know. Naomi, Israel, is the one who tells us how to approach the Redeemer. All that Old Testament stuff that talks about, tells us who Christ is, will be, and prophetic of all that. What the law couldn't do, grace, that's all it was. He didn't have to redeem her. We've talked about that. Ruth does not replace Naomi. The church doesn't replace Israel. The land that's redeemed is in Naomi's name, not Ruth's. Ruth's now in Boaz's inheritance, okay? But the land it's redeemed is in Naomi's name. Now, Ruth's son gets that land and part of Boaz's land. Some argue that's the other reason why the other near kinsman wouldn't redeem. Okay, but now Naomi ain't going to have no kids. I just get the land, my kids get to split it. But if I marry Ruth and I'm supposed to have a child by her, now that child gets Naomi's land and part of mine. So some argue that, okay? It is Ruth that brings Naomi into Boaz's fold, if you will. Now, wait a minute. Naomi is Israel. Ruth is the? Yeah, it's us that brings in these end times Jews into the household of the kinsman redeemer. So where he went to the gate, did the whole shoe thing. The guy takes off his shoe. Matter of fact, if you read that, in the original, in Leviticus, you'll see that it's intended to be a shame unto them. Well, what's the law bring? Shame and guilt, that's all it does. It doesn't redeem. It just shows us where we fall short. But once this happens at the thing, and the sandal's been there, and he makes it, and listen what the Lord, or the people say in verse 11. All the people who were in the court and the elder said, "We are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your home like Rachel and Leah, both of whom built the house of Israel. May you achieve wealth in Ephrath and become famous in Bethlehem. Moreover, may your house be like Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah, through the offspring of which the Lord will give you by this young woman." So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife, and he went into her, and the Lord enabled her, enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to the son. And the women said to Naomi, "Blessed is the Lord who has not left you without a redeemer today. And may his name be famous in Israel." Why does Christ return physically to this earth? The remnant of Israel that will believe. That's why he physically returns, is for Israel, okay? "May he also be with you, or be to you, a restorer of life and sustainer of your old age. And in your daughter-in-law who loves you and is better to you than seven sons has given birth. This is why I always stand with Israel." Are we as loyal as the church to Israel as Ruth is to Naomi? Yeah. "And then Naomi took the child and laid him in her lap and became his nurse." Now, we get to watch my grandson almost every day, so my wife knows what this is like. It's cool stuff. But prophetically, now remember, in the Hebrew, in Israel, prophecy is not so much as it is some kind of predictive thing, as it is pattern. "And the women," or the neighbor women, gave him the name. The neighbors gave him the name. "A son has been born to Naomi." So they named him Obed. And his father... He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now these are the generations of Perez. To Perez, now this is the third time Perez is mentioned, hermeneutic students, is born of Hezron, and Hezron born of Ram, and Ram of Aminadab, born of Nashon, and to Nashon, Solomon, and to Solomon born Boaz, to Boaz, Obed, and Obed born Jesse, and Jesse David. Notice how it repeats the process. Why? Now, notice this. Since Adam, Noah's a 10th generation, Abraham's a 10th generation, and Boaz is a 10th generation. Yeah, there's some significant in those names, isn't there? But then we have, in this particular case, called Perez, with a PH. Perez. Why does it talk about Perez? If you remember, that is Genesis chapter 38. In the middle of the story of Joseph, the story gets interrupted in the middle of the story of Joseph, chapter 37. 38 goes to this whole story of Tamar, Perez, and Judah. It is the law of Levirate marriage in action. So Judah gives away his son to this gal. Details don't matter. And son dies. Guess what? Brother takes over. So Judah gives another son to the gal. And he dies. And she comes back and goes, "I don't have any kids yet." And then Judah goes, "I ain't risking a third one. You're bad luck." And so she's, "What do I do? I'm stuck." Anybody remember what she does? She disguises herself like a lady of the evening. And plays upon Judah's flesh, I'll put it that way, and things happen. And so in payment, he promises her a goat, and he doesn't have one. And so he gives her his signet ring and a couple other things. And so later she has proof when she is with child, when Judah wants to kill her because she has a child, she's not married, she says, look at my ring. Uh-oh. This makes Perez an illegitimate child. Now I'll read with you out of Deuteronomy chapter 23 and verse 2. No one of illegitimate birth shall enter the assembly of the Lord, none of his descendants, even into the 10th generation shall he enter the assembly. Who's number 10? Why do you think God told Samuel to anoint Saul? David, Jesse, couldn't be king because he's from a lineage of an illegitimate child. Now, what's interesting is when Perez is born, he's got a little brother. Don't know it. In those days, they didn't have ultrasound. Mom's going to give birth, and a hand sticks out, and the maidservant tries a scarlet thread around his hand, but the hand goes back inside. And then Perez is born. Typology of Jacob and Esau, and always the second. Here's why. Israel is the first. Ruth is the second. But just this pattern, remember, Jews' prophecies about pattern. They see patterns of 10. Wait till we get to the patterns of 49. Okay? God, the fulfillment of all that God has said, even a scarlet thread at birth, comes in the 10th generation of David. My point is, all this ties together so intricately with all, this story doesn't stand by itself. Remember, it's happened in the midst of the judges, when idols are everywhere and they're doing everything wrong. But then there's this picture of a guy named Boaz who's doing everything right. Now, in Genesis 37, in that story of Joseph, starting in verse 38. Now, back before World War I, a rabbi who was also a mathematician started noticing some patterns. They're called the equal distance letter sequences. He started noticing that if you did certain amount of letters apart in certain text, you ended up with some significant things. But when modern computers came out, and so a bunch of mathematicians and scholars at Hebrew University, Jerusalem University, used computers, and this was in 1989, and they put out a professional paper, academic paper in academic journals about these equal distance letter sequences. All right? So starting in 1738, they go from the beginning of that, of the first what's called Yav letter, okay, and they go 49 letters. Yeshua. No, hang on. Well, but now we're in chapter 38. And we hit another 49 letters. This is in Genesis 38. 49 letters? Guess who I get? Boaz, 49 letters. I get Ruth, 49 letters. I get Obed. Now, they're grouped in this. I'm not saying there's 49 letters in between. They're grouped in these ways. 49 letters, Obed. 49 letters, Jesse and David. So we see a pattern like poetry. Two together, singular, two together. When was this written? Oh, about 500 years before those people were born. Ask you a question. How did Moses do that? Now, wait a minute. They celebrate Ruth and read Ruth when? Every Passover, 49 and the 50th day, they read the story of Ruth. This is one of the evidences, by the way, you can use. This is mathematical. This is not faith. I ask anybody who says to me the Bible isn't real, how do 500 years before do you hide inside the text in a pattern of 49? By the way, this is just a small amount of them. Because if I go every 7 times 11, 777, I see some kind of description of Jesus, the Messiah, whatever. And anybody know what Jesus' name adds up to in Greek? 777. There wasn't a Greek language yet that these guys knew. How do they do that? I think you're stretching it, preacher. You're making this a type and shadow of Jesus. Are you sure? Because the story of Joseph is interrupted with Levirate marriage and then goes right back to the story of Joseph.
And that's where I find these names in the passage in Genesis about Levirate marriage, where an illegitimate son is born who cannot enter the synagogue of God or the temple of God, whose relative ends up being the 10th generation, whose son does what? Builds the house of God. See, I want you to understand this. God made an eternal covenant within the Trinity before anything was created. Part of that eternal covenant is I will redeem for myself a people. Before, well, let me put it another way. While I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. Not just around 33 AD, but in eternity past. There was a covenant, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all being equal. And one of them says, I'll become the servant. And his life was not taken. His life was given. I love the part in the Passion of the Christ where they have to hold down the other two thieves. You guys remember that? If you've seen it? But Jesus crawls up onto and lays down on the cross. When you... Back before Adam ever ate the apple, God said, I have made a Boaz. And I know the Naomi, the Israel, won't get it right. But I don't quit there. I am a relentless God. And I will pursue you and give life to you when you don't even know it yet. And what all you need to do is go, I just come to your feet. I'm going to be your servant, not the other way around. And I put myself under your authority. Why? Because of everything Boaz did. Not because of what Naomi did. Not what did the other kinsmen did, the law did. But because of what Boaz does. I submit myself to Christ, my life to Christ, my desires, my passions, my pursuits to my Boaz. Why? Because he provided life to me when I was spiritually dying of starvation. Even though I didn't really know what I was doing, at least I had this Old Testament. I had the Israeli rules, the Jewish law, to show me I couldn't do enough to win Boaz. But I throw myself there because of what he did. Now I'm going to say that if you... All right. If you go to church once a week and you worship once a week, that's where you hear the Bible once a week. There's a word for that. It's called religion. I give my life under the authority of Christ. Come under his name, not mine. It is not a religious thing. Ruth became his bride, was intimate with him, and had a son. That typology is what we're called to, is to be intimate with Christ, not religious. It is all about, we know this, relationship. But sometimes we do get caught in religion. Let's get real. Life happens, you get busy, and you're just going to church. You're just doing the religious thing. My call to you today is recognize that in yourself. How do you change that? Just go glean in his field. God's leftovers is better than anything else. And when you go to glean of his leftovers, he'll dump more on you than you thought you were going to get. Maybe pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And then don't think money. My challenge to you is, because I believe, and I've talked to the elders and other, God has some incredible things in store for us. And your religious people, the people that are being religious, you're going to miss it. We talked about wanting a visitation from God where we know his presence are there and prayed. But we want your presence, God. Why? Because we love you. That's what we want. We don't want church. We don't want religion. We want you face to face, God. We want to lie at your feet. We want you to cover us with your garment. All the other stuff doesn't matter. The land don't matter. The point is, relationship with you, that's what matters. And I'm going to tell you this, it doesn't happen to you being religious. There isn't a revival, if you want to call that, in the history of the church that's ever happened because people were religious. When people gather together and say, God, I want to see you face to face. So they get into the Word of God and glean from that. They worship, they pray, they get on their knees, and all of a sudden, but they don't even know it, it just happens. God shows up. Well, God was always there. What's the difference? You recognize Boaz. He isn't just a guy that's given you something. He is your Redeemer face to face. Let's stand. By the way, I want to make credit that image right there does not come from me. It comes from Chuck Missler because I wasn't going to break all that Hebrew down for you. So I need to give credit where credit is due. Father, I get a bit dumbstruck when I see the intricacy of your word, how it all ties together, how you worked in human history, and particularly the history of Israel, but you worked in human history to bring about your redemption. God, I see how you worked in the life of an Abraham and a Moses and a Boaz and a Ruth and a Naomi. I see how you worked in their life. Lord, I recognize that my history is in your hands. Your providence is working in my life. So if I'm sitting here as these people are here today, God, it's not an accident. They didn't just happen onto this field. But God, you desire to feed them from your bounty. You want them to find you face to face, to lie at your feet in intimacy. God, I pray that you open their minds and hearts of everyone here to recognize that God seeks us out to be his bride in intimacy. God, help us to shed the bonds of religion and walk with you in a loving, presence-seeking relationship. Be glorified as we leave this place, I pray. Amen.
This is Pastor Randy Reams of Kindred Bible Church in Nampa, Idaho. I want to thank you for joining us today for Truths from God's Unchanging Word. This broadcast is an outreach ministry of Kindred Bible Church. I'd like to invite you also to visit our website, kindredbible.org. There you can listen to today's broadcast as well as previous broadcast. If you're being ministered to by the broadcast, I'd like to encourage you to let us know. You can email us at info@kindredbible.org, or you can write to us at Kindred Bible Church, P.O. Box 32, Nampa, Idaho, 83653. And I'd like you also to check us out on Facebook. Look at us over there and give us a like. So again, I want to thank you for listening to Truths from God's Unchanging Word.